St. Lawrence Paul and you. Thank you for coming today. Now, there are a lot of saints here, and we hope that you will join with us and help to raise them.
Amen. move back towards more of a beginning. Most of you know that I ran the Hope and Folk Club for many years. Most of you know that Johnny Collins was a folk singer on the scene for many years. For some reason, our paths never crossed until he walked into the Hope and Folk Club. He sang a few songs, and I think he came back every week thereafter. He became a resident of the club, and as organiser, it was my duty to arrange the evening. So on a guest evening, I relied on the residents to support the artist and give the crowd a fantastic evening. But I think our open evenings, where everyone had a chance to see, was the important thing. And sometimes those evenings could just dip a little bit when you might have two not quite so good singers on in a row, and I just nod at Johnny to ask him to do the next song. And immediately the whole evening came alive again. He didn't see the star performance, he just knew what to do at the right time. I ran events at Adnan. Johnny Collins started a catering business. Somehow, I don't know how it happened, but he ended up catering at Adnan. Some of the evenings at Adnan dipped a little bit when we stopped doing concerts. And I know Johnny carried on with the catering business for a long time, probably without making money. He probably didn't know how to say, "I want to quit." He eventually did, but he offered that service to our customers, probably at a considerable expense to himself. I sell CDs at folk festivals. Johnny makes CDs. At Chidlam this year, this was in spring break holiday, May, Johnny said, "I'll bring some CDs along." I said, "That's fine, yes, we'd love to sell them. We'll put them on the stall." And then he said, I'll sort it all out at Bromyard, which is in October, where he was due to perform. I have a partner in this business, Derek. He's a bit somber sometimes, and he says, "I bet he comes for his money." I said, no, we agree, he'll come, sort of out of problem. We start clearing up and put everything away, and Johnny just pops his head around the door of the tent and said, "Just out of interest, how did I do?" "Oh," I said, "quite well, it's not quite up for you." "I might as well take the money now then." Johnny left and Eric said, "I told you so." I'm glad he had that money. He might at least have had a few pints on it. Also at Chippenham, I was occasionally allowed off my store and I went to the pasty shop for a pasty, and Johnny Joyce and family were sitting there as well. And I sat down with Johnny, and it must have been the first time I sat down with him and chatted about old times, chatted about Erga, Adnan, Scott Grace, sailing around the Frisian Islands. When you organise things, you've always got things on your mind, and when you're singing at festivals, you're always turning around, you pass like ships in the night. And I was really pleased that I had that long chat with Johnny. It was just one of those occasions that I hadn't found time to do before. And I'm just so pleased that I did. There's a song. I didn't think I was going to break into song there. There's a song, Jock Stewart. I'll just change the first word. "He's a man you won't meet every day." That's Johnny. It was a privilege to know him. It's a privilege to work with him. He certainly is a man you want to meet every day. Thank you.
Why should we of our love complain or grieve at our distress?
Something if they could riches gain, 'twould be true happiness. But that's our pain and it's all our strife. Life's pains are not a land. So when we're here with our friends so dear, we'll try no care. That I could.
this say goodbye to John Russell Collins. Born in Norwich on the 10th of May 1938, died in Gdansk in Poland, July 6th, 2009. He died as he lived his life with his friend as close by. In the 71 years he was with us, he was known as many things. Johnny Collins, John, Johnny, JC, even sometimes the senior chef. He's known as the sons who got his parents, Bob and Evelyn, as a nephew for Sammy, as a brother to Chrissy, a husband, an ex-husband to Lillian, as a father to Carol and Michael, as grandfather to Laura, Christopher, Matthew, Luke, Aaron and Jay. And known by many other people, many other things, a partner, companion, a former co-worker, but above all, as a friend. He had many facets to his life, his music, his family, his work, many interests and his friends. Humans were part of every facet of his life. We'll be sharing part of his life in the same way we share part of ours. I've been asked to speak today for his family in particular. His daughter, my wife Carol, and his son, my brother-in-law, and my friend. Words, however eloquent, can never express our feelings at a time like this. If I had all day, I couldn't really describe his life, achievements, and the impact he had on all of us. But for Carol and for Michael, Johnny was there. When Carol and Michael were born, Johnny was still in the army as a result, and they travelled around a lot. They spent time in Singapore and Hong Kong before a brief stay in Cornwall, they moved to Reading and finally to Watford. We all know life didn't always give Johnny the best cards, particularly where his health was concerned. He never allowed things to get on top of him, and he worked hard, providing for his family, and successfully combining his career with the NHS with his singing. Johnny always said he didn't do children. The truth, as I've seen, was he didn't. Although circumstances didn't always allow the family to keep in touch as often as they would like, I know that in his heart, Johnny understood what his family meant. He had a passion for life, his family, his music, his friends. He included everyone and excluded no one. I could tell him many stories of Johnny and his family life, some humorous, like asking me to smoke a bottle of port into him as he sat in intensive care office during heart attack. And some stories are sad. I could conjure up images of Johnny doing things, frankly, that only Johnny would do. I can go just 70 years after four heart attacks, triple bypass surgery, a mitral valve rebuild, groveling around under the sink, replacing his cap. But no matter how many stories and images I can sum up, I can't sum up what the family meant to Johnny and what Johnny meant to his family. I'm going to quote Carol, who said simply, "Dad was dad." And in the same way, I would say, Johnny was Johnny. Three words. The three words that really do say it all. He lived his life to the full, and he lived his life the way he wanted. We all have our memories of Johnny, some shared with others and some personal. But all those memories are good memories, and reflect a truly unique and special man. The last time you said goodbye to Johnny, like me, I doubt you thought it was really goodbye. Now the time has come to say goodbye one last time. From me, goodbye, mate. For other members of the family, goodbye to a brother, brother-in-law, and nephew, and uncle. For us all, goodbye to a friend. And finally, on behalf of Carol and Michael, I will say something of this. Goodbye, Dad. We love you. We miss you. We will never forget you. You will be in our hearts and memories forever.
There are many friends around the world who can't be with us today, and many of them have asked to be part of the proceedings. And so at this moment, from Adelaide Folk Club in Australia, to Kittyford Festival in Devon and over to Toronto and Canada and many other places. People are going to join with us in this chanting, always Johnny's favourite leaving song.
It's time to go now. Enough said, but I never heard him utter a
had Johnny Collins, the encourager. How many people owe any success they've had in our world, as singers or writers, to the ready support and encouragement of Johnny Collins? I remember the first time I sang one of my own songs in her garden. Johnny came across the room with his usual smile and said, "I've got to have that song. Send me the words and dots." Now, how flattering is that? And how encouraging it is to know that Johnny's saying your stuff on a regular basis. And what about all those Fergus singers' nights, when JC would be the first person to proclaim, "Well sung," to all those nervous people who got up and had a go. Then there are all those other singers whose own recordings would be strangely lacking in depth if it were not for the booming presence of Johnny in the chorus. He was always generous with his time in this way. Johnny had this selfless quality, which meant that no matter how difficult something might be to achieve, if you needed him, he would do his level best not to let you down, even when this meant difficulty and inconvenience to him, and I'm sure to Joyce sometimes too.